This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good Saturday morning to you. Unlike the previous eight, it's not sunny today. Matt Harkins is behind the glass taking your calls at 412-928-9370. You can hit me up on Twitter at KDPomp. Yeah, it's kind of a murky kind of day, and I guess this is what we're in for now for the next who knows how long, Matt. We're going to pay the price. Everyone knew we were going to pay the price, so we're paying the price, right?
Exactly. I mean, I could do it without the rain, though.
Yeah, it's annoying, but it is what it is. And, hey, we have a big day planned for you here today. Got 2 hours here at 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. Also, after that, we're going to do a Pitt Panther preview show. Doran Dickerson and I, as Pitt gets ready for their final two games after three straight losses. And, man, they want to reverse this a little bit here because going 7-0 maybe heightened the expectation meter, and they haven't lived up to it. Now they're 7-3 facing a team like Louisville, which had a crushing loss last week as well. We'll get into that at 1 o'clock until 2 o'clock. And over on KDK Plus today, we have quadruple header of WPIL championship games. The first one is underway. It's Matt Sieg, the Penn State commitment. He is going to go to Penn State, but right now he'd like to win a championship, and they're taking on Clairton. Fort Cherry is the number one seed, Clairton number two. After that, it's Seton LaSalle against South Park, another 1-2 matchup, and then Central Valley Avonworth, a 2-5 matchup in that one. And then later tonight at 8 p.m., all on KDKA+, it's Pine Richland and the Peters Township Indians. So that's going to be a full day of football. You can watch it all on KDKA+, and I'll be doing the late game with Arthur Motes on that one. So we'll have a lot of stuff going on here. The Fort Cherry-Clairton game is underway, and it's scoreless early on. 412-928-9370. We have a lot to get into, like the Steelers. So I ask you today, after what you watched Thursday night, what is the Steelers' ceiling at this point? You might remember 2020 when 11-0 was followed by a collapse. You know, you can make conclusions, and I just mentioned Pitt. They start 7-0, and I think people raise the expectation bar quite high, and you can't reach it. So at 8-3, what do you think the Steelers are in for down the stretch here following their 24-19 loss at the hands of the Cleveland Browns? And that game was weird in so many ways. It really was. The Browns, I can throw statistics at you that make you think that they would have lost this game by 40 points. 1-for-10 on third down. You know, they didn't get much of a run game going at all, except on fourth down. That's when they won this game. That was the difference if you're going to look at it. The Steelers were 1-for-3 on fourth down, and Cleveland was 4-for-4 on fourth down. There are a lot of decisions to break down. Number one, Russell Wilson takes a sack on a 3rd-and-3 at the Cleveland 32. He loses 9 yards, which forced Chris Boswell to take 58 yards on the field goal attempt. In those conditions, the wind was blowing hard. Not yet snow on the field, but still, he missed it wide right. I, at the time, thought they were going to punt the ball and just, you know, let the defense go to work. Nothing against Chris Boswell. He could hit 58 yards, but those wind conditions made it very difficult. So that was one of them. I thought it was a interesting use of Justin Fields. Some may say it was just confusing at times. He was in there a lot, but a couple of times they were rushed 4th-and-2 from the Cleveland 38, and he loses 2 yards on a 4th-and-1. It seems like they were just not in sync whatsoever. Maybe that's because it was a short week, and Justin Fields hasn't done all that much, you know, in that role leading up to this. Was that the right time to implement it after just one practice, and all of a sudden he's in there quite a bit? Now, he did have a 30-yard run to the outside, but outside of that, there wasn't much there for Justin Fields. Steelers win the turnover battle 3-1. When they do that, they normally win. But it was Thursday night, and you know what happens on Thursday night. I should have known, but I thought really the Steelers were going to buck the trend here, given how bad Cleveland had been there. I looked at the last three games. Cleveland was just atrocious, especially against New Orleans. They have nothing to play for but pride, and the pride was what they utilized and the motivation to beat the Steelers. The Steelers are 1-9 on their last 10 Thursday night games, and there is your problem right there, 1-9. And you can try to analyze that as best you can. What does that mean? Very short time to implement anything. You know, strategy becomes more of a thing than conditioning, I think, at that point. You got to do the right things and make the right calls, and there were blown timeouts there that I thought were bad. There was that the one that really stands out was, of course, at the end of the first half, they left one in their pocket. They could have used one. They ran 40 seconds off the clock. But also, on the one play that looked like intentional grounding, where they called illegal touching instead, should have been fourth down, loss of a down, move back. Instead, it turned out to be a choice between 3rd and 7 and 4th and 2. In my mind, I thought Cleveland was going to kick a field goal, or at least try to. It was a 43-yard attempt that would have taken the lead. I would have preferred that if I were Mike Tomlin. And the reason I say that is because I think you had plenty of time left to go down the field and get a game-winning field goal from Chris Boswell, if at all possible, as opposed to giving them two downs. You know, they got two downs, 3rd and 7, and then a 4th down if necessary. Well, they wasted no time in converting that and extending that drive. So there were a lot of things going on in that game. Another one that kind of shocked me was the fact that Cleveland came into that game with an NFL worst 46 sacks. A new left tackle essentially had no experience there. And the Steelers, which rely on pressure and sacks, only got one sack in that game, none for T.J. Watt. The only one was Nick Herbert coming around the edge and getting a strip sack. So, very strange game indeed. Myles Garrett got the better of Watt in the one-on-one comparison, even though they don't play against one another. But 5 tackles, 3 sacks, a forced fumble. And then afterwards, George Pickens picks a bad time to call the Browns a bad football team. I'm not a fan of that. I just don't think it's necessary. Now, if you back it up, you better back it up. Because the next time they play in 2 weeks, they're going to remember that one. And the last Hail Mary is another one. That play to me, you know, let me read this to you because I got this a lot. Why was there no interference on this, says Doug in, I think he's in from La Trobe on Twitter. Doug says, why no interference on that play? Well, if you watch that, first of all, Doug, I will tell you this. You can hit me up on Twitter at KD Palm. You're not going to get interference calls on Hail Marys. You just don't. I don't even know when the last time I saw one. Number two, if you break down, everyone's upset about George Pickens and Newsom going at it. If you break it down and look at all the video angles that you could possibly get from people who were there, it looked like George Pickens had the guy by the head and was going to take him off into the stands. People thought it was the other way around. A lot of contact on Hail Marys. I never expect to see a flag just because there never has been one. And I don't think in a desperation, officials know what this is. Unless it's completely egregious, you're never going to get that call. 412-928-9370. Let's get to the lines. We got people want to talk. So much to talk about, so little time. We'll begin with Phil in Elizabeth, who joins us right now. Hello, Phil. How are you?
Hey, good, Bob. Hey, I'm doing good, Bob. I was talking to my friends, and they agreed with me. Do you think when we play them back in December, meaning the Browns, do you think Mike Tomlin and his whole team are going to say, it's revenge time now? You know what we know? What to look out for and what not to do. And hopefully it won't be snowing. And T.J. Watt will say, okay, it's revenge time now, Myles Garrett. And I really do think, with it being a Sunday and a 1 o'clock game, I really truly believe that we will defeat the Browns in December.
Well, Phil, I think the next time they meet, there's going to be it's a different scenario. They're coming here. I think the Steelers will be highly motivated. They can't afford another loss to them. I would expect a big line, and I would expect the Steelers to cover that line. Now, I thought they were going to win that game the other night pretty easily because of the way Cleveland had played and all the statistical data you could dig up on that game, knowing that the Steelers were 8-2 had a chance really to give themselves some extra breathing room over the Baltimore Ravens. So everything that was at stake there. And they just came out and kind of laid a dud in that game, and I was surprised by it. It will not happen again. I think the game in Cincinnati is a tough game coming up. That's for sure. And Cincinnati is a desperate team. They're 4-7. They may have already sealed their fate. However, you never know. They're capable of winning. Joe Burrow's had a tremendous start to his season, despite their 4-6 record. Is it 4-6 or 4-7? I think they're 4-6. Maybe they're 4-7. I don't. Anyway, they 27 touchdown passes, just 4 interceptions, and yet they are where they are because their defense is no good. But I thought the same of the Baltimore defense. It wasn't as good as it's been in the past, and yet the Steelers couldn't score a touchdown against them. So there are a lot of questions here. The one thing I'll say about the AFC. Unlike in previous years, when I thought Kansas City was by far the best team and Buffalo was next, both those teams are still there, but it is a quagmire of teams. It's not the same. It's available. So the Steelers, by virtue of being in the AFC, have a chance still, despite that loss. They got to take care of business coming up and a grueling schedule. There's no question about that. 412-928-9370, out to Jay in the north side. Hey, Jay, how are you today?
Pump, how you doing? Love your show.
Appreciate it.
I think you need about a 12-hour show to cover all the things people want to talk about. But the thing that it's bothered me in the past, their alignment when they have short yardage situations, 3rd and 2, even 4th and 1, their halfback is like 7 yards back. And when they hand it off to him, he's got to run 7 yards plus get an additional yard or two. I just don't like that alignment. I don't see other teams use that as much.
I also didn't like on 4th and 2 when Justin Fields was in the game, and he's in shotgun. Now, it was slippery conditions to begin with. They were rushed. The clock was going down. I would rather have the potential lure of a quarterback sneak as part of it. You're not going to get that in a shotgun, you know? So, I don't know. There were just a lot of things. You're right. You need more time than just a few hours to talk about it.
Yeah, we don't have enough time on Saturday morning.
Yeah. Anything else, Jay?
No, that's it. Thanks.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370. Let's try Bob in Mount Lebanon, who joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hey, Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hey, to you, Bob.
What's up?
Like to vent a little bit about the Pitt football program and Pat Narduzzi. Narduzzi's legacy at Pitt, ever since he's been there, is lack of discipline and stupid penalties. Year in, year out, they lead the ACC in penalties. The man has had 2 good years in 10 years, okay? Mm-hmm. They're going to lose to Louisville today and probably go to another weed whacker bowl. That's his legacy. I hope the new AD, Ellen Green, takes a look at this Pitt football program, because if you like going to weed whacker bowls, then Narduzzi's your man. What do you think, Bob?
Well, I think you're right about discipline. And the thing is, he's a defensive-minded coach, and yet their defense at critical times gets shredded. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. And they haven't been able to come up with a consistent flow of offensive talent. Now, you can tell me that Eli Holstein is going to be fine, and that may be true. But a program of that nature needs a really good quarterback. And they've had Kenny Pickett during his time here, but that's pretty much about it, other than some other transfers. But I'm talking about a big-time quarterback recruit who can make something happen there. They haven't had that. But I also think, to your point, penalties kill them. And I don't know how many they had in their last game, but it had to be double digits. So those are things that are the hallmark of a program that needs to be better in those situations. And that's one of the reasons why 7-3 is where they are after 7-0. And that 7-0 was fool's gold, as it turned out. I talked about 11-0 Steelers in 2020. Well, 7-0 provided an unreal expectation of what Pitt really is. And I think today you're right. They're underdogs by 7.5 points. They may cover that, but I don't expect that they win that game. We'll see. If they lose it, they have BC. They could be 7-5 and fall into a number of years that Pitt football has just been 6-6 and 7-5. And I didn't think that was going to happen this year, given their start. 412-928-9370. We got more on the way. We'll take a break. Again, coming up, your thoughts about the Pittsburgh Steelers. What is their ceiling? I also would like to talk about Sidney Crosby and the Penguins. Crosby was fighting Kyle Connor last night. Should he be the guy to do that? Why is he the one doing that, and why is no one else stepping up for him? The fate of the Penguins, who fall again to Winnipeg last night. They got Utah in town tonight. We'll get into that. And Bryson DeChambeau. Have you been watching this, Matt Harkins, this Bryson DeChambeau thing? Okay, so he's a member of the LIV Golf Tour. He's trying to hit. He has a glass house in Dallas. It's a big glass house. And he's really good at this stuff on social media. He wants to hit a hole-in-one from like 120 yards over his house. So he has a mat. And he has a green over the house. And so every day that he does it, he gets a number of shots according to the day. So on day one, he got one shot. Didn't do it. All really good shots. Day two, he got two. Day three, three. Day four, he's up to day 11. He had 11 shots yesterday. He put five of them within 3 feet, but he couldn't make a hole in one. So he's going to go on again today and do it. We've had people try this on their own who are not good golfers. Break windows. Their wives are furious. What are they doing?
I'm not trying that. I just bought a house. I'm not trying that, the new house. No.
I was going to until my wife got the better of me and said, no, you won't. She didn't even see my golf game. I'm pretty good with a wedge, but apparently not that good. 412-928-9370 is the number. This is the Bob Pompeiani Show. We continue live right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And we are brought to you by number one Cochrane shop 24/7 with expressway at cochrane.com. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia. Peters Township, visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. 412-928-9370. A lot of people on the lines. Let's get to it. Maddie, shall we? Let's go to line one. That's Charles in Chicago. Hello, Charles.
Hey, Bob. How you doing? Long time no here.
Happy Thanksgiving coming up.
Happy holidays, you and your family as well. Upcoming Thanksgiving. Thank you. So just three quick things I want to highlight real quickly. Number one, call me nuts, but I don't care. But what was that noise throughout the game? It almost like I was speaking to myself. Don't tell me the Browns have sunk to the Astros of football. Did you hear that?
No, that was where the press box is located. People can pound. It's ridiculous.
I know. I just figured. Please don't tell me we're going for
no
controversy like that. Okay.
No, quite frankly, I don't think any of the members of the Astros were there. Altuve was at the game somewhere, but he wasn't near there. Go ahead.
Well, thanks for saving me off the ledge there. Number two, I was just wondering what Justin Fields, what I've been noticing right now, and I've been one of the few people that kind of advocated for this and mentioned, because I'm just still not too confident in him being a long-time starting quarterback. He could still fill in. He's had a decent start to the season. But, I mean, when you notice like how he's doing good with his legs, and now you got Russell Wilson who had a nice streak, still struggled a little bit the last two games. Are you getting a little concerned with some of the play calling? Like, because I noticed in this Thursday night game, a lot of the short yard situations, when they put Fields in there, it's like the Browns were ready for it. And even, like, last game versus the Ravens where he, like, slid, he was inches short. Thankfully, they converted the first down with Najee to close out the Ravens. Do you think they need to do a better job, like, incorporating if they're going to –
Yeah, I thought this was the wrong week to do it. In fact, thank you, Charles, for the call. We got a lot of people, so I'm going to move on, but I hope you have a nice holiday. I think, to do it on a short week like this was kind of difficult, especially the way they did it. I thought they were going to wait a little bit on that or use it, late in the game if they hit, but not that way. Especially, it seemed like they were rushed. A lot of the play calls were runs up the middle, too. And the Browns, give them credit. They rose to the occasion in that game. But some of it was that way, yes. I thought the 4th-and-2 call where he had a shotgun and just rolled right and lost two was – I don't know what that call was. So, yeah, I agreed. And I don't know if it was just short week. You got to turn it around and come up with some strategical advantages. Cleveland had the same 3 days rest. That's it. They played New Orleans, had to fly back. So I don't want to hear about Thursday night football. You got to adjust. They know that. They don't make excuses. So no excuses. They lost a game they should have won. Let's go out to Tim in Kennedy Township. Hello, Tim. How are you today?
Bob, I'm doing good. Thanks for letting me use your venue to vent a little bit about the Penguins. Real quick, something real interesting, and I think it's worth keeping an eye on, came out of last night's postgame. Sid was held scoreless without a shot.
Two games in a row now.
Yeah, and Scott Arneil, the coach of Winnipeg, which is just what an amazing team that was last night. They're really good. But he was asked about that with Sid, and his quote, I think, is something to keep an eye on. He said, "I've got so much respect for Sid. It's tough to see what he's going through here. But at the end of the day, we got a job to do, and we got it done." You know, Bob, I don't know of an athlete with more pride that I've watched than Sidney Crosby. I mean, he's been hated, he's been challenged, he's been all the things we've seen, but I don't think he's ever been pitied or been felt sympathy for like that quote kind of indicated last night. And I got to tell you, Bob, if that starts to take hold from this situation in Pittsburgh where the opponent starts feeling sorry for Sid, I wonder if that changes his relationship with the Penguins in this situation, because as a prideful athlete, I don't know of an emotion that you can handle more than your opponent's pity. And that's starting to seep through in that quote I saw from Arneil. Yeah. So I'd be curious as your thoughts
very,
on that going
very
forward.
Very interesting comment there, Tim. Thank you. And yeah, I mean, you don't want to hear that. Sorry for what he's going through. Everyone knows what he's going through, which is the end of the line in terms of this window. They tried to prolong it as much as possible. They believe they could, but because of so many people, you know, looking back now, they should never have done the Carlson thing. They should never sign Graves. They did a lot of things. At the time, Carlson, wow, it's great. You got a guy who's a three-time Norris. He come off 101 points. He was the only guy on that Ottawa team that did anything. And the San Jose team, I mean. So, you know, you're getting a guy who's not good defensively. They've had their own issues with that before he even came here. Graves has been a healthy scratch. You know, I mean, they got problems, and it goes beyond Sidney Crosby, but he's right in the middle of it. And I wonder now if Kyle Dubas would go to either, and they're not going to do it to Crosby, that, you know, ultimately he chooses where he stays. But a guy like Malkin and a guy like Letang, do you approach him and say, hey, do you want to move on and maybe, you know, we can give you a better opportunity? You know, I don't know what they do, but right now they're not a good hockey club, and they're dead last in their division, second worst in the Eastern Conference. Yep. They have goaltending issues, they have defensive issues, and they're not scoring enough. So,
yeah, I wonder if his opponents, if the opponents start feeling sorry for him, if that changes his alchemy with the way he views his position in Pittsburgh. And granted, Sid, you know, Sid's wanted to keep the core together, so he has to own a piece of this too. But I wonder if this attitude, if this starts to manifest itself, Bob, if that changes Sid's relationship with the Pens.
You know, it might. I don't know that. I don't know the answer to that, Tim. I know he's committed here for now, and hopefully they can turn it around and they somehow can still sneak into the playoffs. That would be the best thing. I know it is. But thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And that's one of the things they have to worry about after losing again last night. They have Utah coming in here tonight, and Utah was in town last night, so they are rested for this game. And we'll see what the Penguins can do against a team that they should beat tonight, given everything they've gone through. But yeah, zero shots in back-to-back games. Crosby's one goal away from 600, and yet the stands are largely without people in them. You know, I looked at last night, and I'm thinking, my goodness, there should be more people here because it's a Friday night, and I'm sure tonight will be a better crowd. At least I hope so. At 412-928-9370. Let's get over to Mike in Sarver. He joins us right now. Mike, go right ahead. How are you today?
Good, good. Who do you think the MVP of Thursday night's game was?
Myles Garrett.
Nope. The lineman who tried to catch the ball on third and seven.
He didn't. Well, I mean, that they were lucky that call. It should have been grounding. But because it hit that dude, it became, I guess, illegal
touching.
If it hits
him in the butt, it's intentional grounding. It hits him in the hands, it's illegal touching.
Right. They still were lucky. They still were lucky.
Oh, definitely. I mean, they could have still called that intentional grounding, no doubt about it. But, you know, you mentioned Thursday night they both played. Why don't they do what they keep talking about privately? They keep saying they want to have the Super Bowl a day before the President's Day. Give everybody two byes. Everybody that plays on Thursday night, both teams get a bye before that game. And you won't have that sloppy crap that we had to watch on Thursday.
Well, most every Thursday game is a sloppy game. Which makes me wonder about Christmas Day. That'll be the same situation for Kansas City, Pittsburgh.
10 days, three games.
Three.
You know, they don't care about player safety.
Yeah, they say that, but they don't. They really don't. I mean, their actions speak louder than their words. There, they do, but they don't. They say it, but they don't.
It's a TV show, Bob, not a game.
Yeah. All right, man. Thanks. I got to go to break. Mike, we have Martin in Uniontown. Rich, we got the counselor. Greg, I'll get to you as soon as I can. Here, we got to take a break. I want to remind you, our show is brought to you by the good people of Number One Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com, as well as Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman, PNC Bank, Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. More of your calls on the way right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We're back and brought to you by Number One Cochran. Go One Better, shop in style at Expressway with Cochran.com. 412-928-9370. Also on the text line, it's at KD Pomp. Perry Rotolo says, Bob, is Eric Carlson's contract worse than Derek Bell's with the Pirates? Some of the worst in Pittsburgh sports history. Well, Maddie and I were thinking about this. First of all, Derek Bell's one of the worst. There's no question about that. I remember jogging George Hendrick when he came over, but I don't remember what his contract status was. The Pirates have had some others. Raul Mondesi, you might remember. Penguins-wise, Jack Johnson was a bad contract. Rob Scuderi, second time around, is a bad contract. There have been others. I'd have to take more time to figure that out. But Carlson, paying him 11.5, that's certainly not getting any bang for your buck. We had a lot of calls. Let's roll right through them. Greg in Wilkins Township has been waiting for a while. But, Greg, thank you for your patience. What's up?
Hi, Bob. Hey, one thing I'd like to say. You are one classy sportscaster. I love your show on Sunday nights and I love listening on the radio.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much, Greg.
Two things about the Steelers. One of the things is when you talk about how to use Fields, I think you ought to take a look at how Penn State uses their two quarterbacks and even their tight end Warren, and they mix up with some very creative plays that are just different than put Fields in and run it into the line. So it might be worth a look. The other thing is this is about Russell Wilson and his time in Seattle. I spent about 10 years there before moving back to Pittsburgh. Mm. When Russell starts scrambling in the backfield, the Seattle receivers automatically went into a scramble mode and left their positions and just ran to open spaces. And I don't know that I see that. It seems like they end up wherever they were supposed to run, they stayed there, and that leaves Russell with no open receivers to throw to. In 10 years in Seattle, he seemed like he always found an open receiver after he scrambled for a bit.
Yeah, I mean, those receivers, you're right, Greg. They have to do that kind of work. They did it with Roethlisberger when he starts scrambling here. It's one of those things that you have to understand because he does tend to hold on to the ball a long time. Sometimes he gets unnecessary sacks, I think, in that regard. But thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it, and I hope you have a great day. Let's move down to the bottom of the board here. We got Martin in Uniontown who's also been waiting. Hey, Martin, what's up?
Hey, Bob. I'll tell you what. I think the Steelers, that was a trap game on Thursday night. And Tomlin told them they got to watch that so that don't happen, you know, all the time.
Well, I mean, Mike also said, thanks for the call, Martin. You know, you got to warm. They took too long to warm up to it. Now, who does that fall on? Is it players? Is it coaches? I mean, you can't warm up to anything. And quite frankly, the first quarter of that game, there was no snow. There was wind, and snow started falling after that. They needed to sustain drives, and they moved it both of their first two possessions, but they could not result in you know, points. The third down and three sack by Wilson took them out of field goal range, yet they still went for it on 58 yards and was no good. Let's go to Rich in Forest Hills, who's also been waiting patiently. Hey, Rich, how are you?
Hey, Bob. Just two quick observations about the Penguins. One's kind of obtuse, and the minor point. The first point I wanted to make is that you know, this whole notion of the core, if you take Sidney Crosby out of this core, I don't think it's held anywhere near in the same regard. So you can't consider the core, in my opinion, to be this group. It's Sidney Crosby and everybody else. You know, Malkin and Letang were physically gifted beasts on the ice with, you know, moderate to low hockey IQ. They could overcome a lot of their deficiencies with, you know, through their athletic prowess. Now they're getting older. They just can't do that. And that's what, you know, but keeping this core together was what prompted, was one half of the equation that prompted the Carlson trade. Because Carlson, if you'll remember, was going to fix our power play. And, you know, that's just, it's just absurd. But the more important point is, Crosby is going to be committed to this organization through the end of his career, then now's the perfect time to have Ryan Reeves on your team.
you don't want anybody to get within 5 feet of him for the rest of his career.
Sailed with Ryan Reeves. You got a 5-game suspension. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying, though.
Happened with Tom Wilson and Ovechkin the other day. That was clearly an accidental hit.
Right.
It didn't matter. You don't breathe on these guys. And for everything that Crosby's done for this town, this franchise, I think a protector, this team is clearly on decline. The smart trade and probably something Pittsburgh sports fans would appreciate is you get Crosby a protector. And let's, you know.
Well, I don't know how you achieve that at this point. But, the fact is they should have guys. It doesn't matter if you are a, quote, enforcer or not, or protector or not. If you're on his team and that happens. I saw Jack St. Ivany did it earlier this year. They need more people just to, at that point. Now, listen, Kyle Connor does not play a cheap brand of hockey. He's a Lady Bing guy. However, Crosby took exception to that hit, and I don't know if he was trying to, wake their team up, whatever the case may be. Someone else had to do it. If he was mad, someone else had to come to his aid there.
Well, they had a history, don't they?
They do, but they're not exactly I would not have had those two fighting last night. You know what I mean? That would not have been on my list of things I would have bet on. But anyway, to your point as well, Tegan, Richard, I got to run. Thank you. Appreciate the call. We're going out to Hawaii now, and our friend Kevin. And Kevin, I don't have the Hawaii music queued up for you because you caught us off guard, but thank you, Maile Kalikimaka. Maka.
Hey, what's going on? I'm actually doing the morning walk on the Sony Open Golf Course. I keep telling you, Bob, you got to come visit.
I've played there. I love that place. It's right by the Mandarin Kahala.
Yeah. Well, now it's just the Kahala Hotel and Resort.
With the Mandarin. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, a couple things real quick because I know you're packed. In order. Penguins. I've been saying this for 4 or 5 years. I was hoping when Dubas met with Crosby when he first came in, this is what he was asking permission for. Until you get rid of Chris, ask him to go home to Montreal. And I got it. Chris is still a decent player, but his lack of discipline is contagious, especially with the success that he's had. And when he was young, he could make up with it with his speed, and he can't anymore. And he's been killing him for 4 or 5 years, and it gets progressively worse. And so that's just where they're at. I hate it because I love Crosby, and to the earlier caller's point, part of it's his fault because he wanted to keep the band together. But Chris has got to go. So enough on that. Hey, I got a question for you. Oh, by the way, tell Chris Muller that those Tomlin games I talked about before the Indy game, and I said we're always good for 3 or 4. Well, I got 3 now. Indy, Dallas, and Cleveland. It's the same old every single year. Everything has changed. Head coaches, GMs, coaches, players, everything's changed multiple times except for one position, head coach. It's a Tomlin thing. It's not anything else. It's not Russ Wilson. It's not Fields. It's not Smith calling the plays. It's Tomlin. And then I got to, just for later on if you get a chance in the show, because I know how packed you are, is there a location in sports between Penn State, Happy Valley, and Pittsburgh?
It's hour number 2 of the program here on a gloomy Saturday. By the way, the first game over at Acrisure Stadium is at halftime. Matt Sieg has 2 touchdowns on the ground. It's 14-6, Fort Cherry over Clairton, that one at halftime. Fort Cherry's number 1, Clairton is number 2, and they're playing a very good and entertaining football game. All those games on KDK Plus, the Steelers and KDK Plus have combined to bring those all to you, and it'll go all throughout the day. Meantime, I want to remind you that the Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And South Hills Kia in Peters Township is fan Twitter, southhillskia.net. And our show is brought to you by the good people of Number One Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at cochrane.com. Before we get back to the phone lines, we have a special guest with us. In 2019, Jim Rooney, that's Art's brother, he authored a book which was called A Different Way to Win. It was Dan Rooney's story, really, from the Super Bowl, the Rooney Rule, story about his father, Steelers owner, the ambassador to Ireland, Dan Rooney, and all the accomplishments that took place, and there were many. Coming out now for your Christmas shopping list pleasure is an audio book version of that book. It goes on sale, and Jim is joining me now kindly to talk about that and what it actually means, because, Jim, we're in a different kind of digital age these days, and while I still enjoy book reading, audiobooks have become very popular. Good morning to you, and tell us about this venture into the audiobook world.
Hey, Bob, it's great to be with you, and thank you so much for having me. We put the story together of Dad about, right after he passed, and then put it out as a book. And it took us some years because of COVID and a few other things to get the audio together, but we're really excited. We have some great interviews, Joe Green, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin, Franco, Rocky, Mel Blunt, you know, just some great folks talk about my father, the impact he had on their lives, and then the success they had, and they attribute some of the things they learned from him. So I think it's a really good story, and I think you learn things firsthand from some guys that we all love to hear from.
So essentially what we're talking about, Jim, is that, like, for example, if you're taking a long trip, a lot of people do try, you know, on Thanksgiving and Christmas, they travel long distances to get to where they're going. You could just plop this in and listen to it on your drive, correct?
It's perfect for a long drive, but if you just drive to grandma from one street to another, I hope you download it. But yes, it is great. If you're going to spend some time going across the highways, good way to listen, hear some great Steelers, and you know, hopefully a good message.
And I think the nice thing is that you hear it in their voices too, your voice, their voice, and the stories. Sometimes, I mean, you could relay stories, but unless you hear it from the horse's mouth, it takes on a whole different meaning, doesn't it?
It does, and it's interesting because, you know, my dad was a successful businessman, and he made some tough decisions and was tough with each of these guys at one time or another, and they talk a little bit about that. But then there's this intimacy that he builds, the sense of trust, the sense of care, the things that you've heard about with my father. You know, obviously I like to talk about them, but it's really powerful to me to hear guys that, you know, aren't in the family and talk about how he did those things and how that taught them another side of being successful, that you can be tough, you can make hard decisions, but you also can do it in a way that's caring and you can have concern for others. And, you know, those things aren't absent of each other.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good description of how your father was, because when you think about it, some of those decisions, like Rod Woodson, like Jason Gilden, these are guys who still had football. Like, he had to make a decision, but it's how you made it and the respect that those players had for him, even though they knew maybe they disagreed with it, right? And yet you got to make tough decisions at tough times.
It's funny because Mel talks about, you know, this contract dispute he had with my dad back, I think it was 77 when he held out. And he said, you know, it was the longest holdout in Steelers history. It was pretty acrimonious. And he said the day he came in, the first person went up to him, hugged him and said, look, Mel, we were negotiating and I know it was tough, but you're a Steeler and you're a Steeler forever. And Mel said, you know, the youth home that he went on and put on, the Mel Blount youth home, he said it would never happen without your father, your father's support, your father's commitment. But he said, you know, we went through this really adversarial experience and I learned that you can do both. And so he gives a really clear description of that, which I think is excellent.
Yeah, and I think that's what made him as good as he was, and not only in dealing with his own team, but also, you know, all the issues in the National Football League. And your dad was, you know, primarily responsible for a lot of stuff that happened in the NFL. That's how much respect they had for him.
Yep. Yep. You know, Bob, the basis of our business model, the reason the NFL has really, you know, the reason the Steelers have some of the things they're able to do, and I love the Pirates, but baseball has never done what we've done in terms of our collective bargaining agreement. And it's allowed Pittsburgh to always be competitive with the Giants, with the Bears, you know, with the Dodgers. And, you know, the Bucks, it's just hard to compete with the Yankees every year. It's hard to compete with the Cubs every year. It's hard to compete with the Dodgers every year because, you know, because of the structure. And my father was the one who really negotiated that collective bargaining agreement, the foundation of it, that we still have today.
Yeah, and I think it's absolutely made it so that every team, you don't look at any of these NFL teams as small market as you do with baseball. So,
right.
And that's the difference.
You know, we're talking about a Chiefs dynasty, you know, I mean, that's just so different. And, you know, I would love to see it in baseball, but it really was a competitive advantage.
No question about it. All right, Jim Rooney, the book is called A Different Way to Win. Where can people get it? It's an audiobook now. You can get both the regular and now audiobook. Where can they do it?
Yep. And if folks are interested in downloading the audio, anywhere you download audiobooks, Amazon does it through Audible. Apple does it through iBooks, and then my publisher, Penguin Random House Audio, has a website, and they have a little bit of a contest there, so there's some goodies that Steeler fans might be interested in. So any of those places or anywhere else you regularly download an audiobook.
Well, that sounds awesome and a great time to do it right before Christmas. Jim, as always, thanks for your time, man. Appreciate it, and best of luck with a different way to win now in audiobook form. We appreciate your time, man.
Thanks, Bob. I really appreciate everything you do and taking time to talk to me. I appreciate it.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving and all the best to the family. That's Jim Rooney joining us right here today on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. And again, you can get it at Amazon or any other place that they do audiobooks, and it's a great gift for Steeler fans. All right, Jim, thank you. And let's get back to the phone lines at 412-928-9370. Anthony in Oakland is up next. Anthony, thank you for waiting. What's going on?
Well, that was interesting to hear about one of the Patriots of the league. Mr. Rooney did a lot for the foundation of what we call the NFL today.
Absolutely. And that CBA thing is a big collective bargaining. That's your forte, right? You know, it's important for both sides to get fair deals. They did. And to his point, I've been moaning about baseball for a long time, and I don't think it's ever going to change. But go ahead.
What's going to eventually have to happen, though? You have these quarterbacks who are making an enormous amount of money. They're going to have to cut it in half. They can still keep their union representation, but they're going to also put half of their contract into management side because it eats up too much of the cap. I mean, these guys, because it's not stopping. I mean, you've got the Dallas quarterback making $60 million. I mean, before we know it, this thing's going to be $100 million.
And, Anthony, think about this now. You got Daniel Jones released. They still owe him $76 million, I saw. Deshaun Watson's owed $92 million, and they don't even play anymore.
Yeah, eventually they're going to have to do that in the next collective bargaining agreement. If I were the other players, because, you know, this is how you don't have a full roster, because if you're spending – we know what it's $200 million or more for the cap, but if a quarterback's taking up $100 million, what does that leave you? And that's where we're going. So they're going to have to, the next contract, the rest of the rank and file are eventually going to have to say, we're going to have to split that baby.
See, this is why, by the way, just for me to dovetail into something else, this is why the Pirates need to treat Paul Skeens as if he is a rookie quarterback. He's not making a lot of money, less than $1 million right now. Eventually, he's going to price himself out of Pittsburgh, but you have him for the next 4 years or so. Go out and spend money on everything to make it possible that they can compete.
Yes, eventually. But let me say this about the Steelers, the current Steeler team. I'm very disappointed in the coaching. I know they were on a short week, but to not look at the tape of how New Orleans attacked Cleveland. I mean, every time Garrett would come rush the quarterback, they would just send a screen behind him, and they just destroyed them. They did. You saw Taysom Hill run for all that yard. I'm disappointed that they did not use the Cleveland aggressiveness against them, and it cost them.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. The other thing I didn't with regard to Justin Fields. I think everyone knew that at some point they would use him in a way. It seemed like that was a kind of a sporadic way of using him the other night.
Yeah. They should have saved it until after the bye.
Right. They kind of rushed it in there, and it didn't look like they had any time preparing for it. And they only had one practice day last week.
It was haphazard, and it cost them. Because, look, they can utilize him, as you saw in that 30-yard run. He can be utilized, but you have to – The prime for it, you just can't spur at a moment. Say, oh, he's in, because it cost him late in that drive. Look, if you ice that first down there, we're talking a whole different ballgame. Then why wasn't Russ in the game? He's your best throwing quarterback from the pocket. It was inexcusable. You max protect, and you pick up that yardage, no matter how you had to do it, Rob.
Let me ask you this, because I know I have a feeling I'm going to get your answer to this. George Pickens. He had a lot of interesting things to say, none of which I would have endorsed after a loss like that. He basically said Cleveland's not a good football team, and the only reason they won was because of the weather. Now, they play each other in 2 weeks. Regardless of that, I mean, that's the wrong time to do it. And some people say, well, it's a heat of the moment. He's speaking the truth. You guys want truth. He's saying, okay, but that's – I mean, what's your view on that, knowing – that, you know, I thought that last play, he was more guilty of taking Newsom out of the play than vice versa.
You mean at the, I don't even count that nonsense because they weren't even prepared for that. You have at least one receiver who stands in the front if it gets knocked back. And that's what happened. If you watch that play, it got knocked. If they had had a receiver standing, he may have been able to catch it. But let me just say this quickly. You know, we talk about the great Watt, and he is fantastic. But you know what? We kind of pushed to the side the contributing factor of Alex Highsmith. They're not the same defense when Alex Highsmith is not there. They're just not. They don't lose when he's playing. He is very important to that scheme. And the sooner he gets back healthy, now we're going to need him down the stretch because you're going to need Alex Highsmith. Herbick's a nice guy. He's a young player. But there's no question, Bob, Highsmith makes a big difference in that overall scheme.
Totally agree. All right, Anthony, always good to hear from you.
Man.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Thanks for the time. Let's go to Rob in Turtle Creek. Joins us right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hello, Rob.
Hey, Bob, I'm going to switch things up on you. I hope you don't mind a little bit.
Free for all. Go for it.
Hey, I'm going to talk about college recruiting. I got to say, I think it's got to change with the NIL. I just don't understand. I heard you say earlier that the Sieg kid from Fort Cherry committed to Penn State.
Yes.
Is he a senior?
Yes.
Okay. I just don't understand it. Why you would commit these days when you could say, you know what, I'm going to hold out and see how much I can get from whoever's coming after me. To commit early seems kind of, I don't know, foolishness on their part because they're really, you know, I guess from a business management point, you know, their family needs to say, hey, you know what, you can't commit this early. You can't do this. You got to see what they're going to give you. And,
so,
you know, because
so,
it's not about the student athlete anymore. It's
yeah,
not
but
about,
maybe in Matt's case it is. Maybe he went there like that and want that fit. I don't know. Everyone has their own personal decision to make, but if it strictly comes down to money, then I think we really got problems. If high school juniors are starting to get money for things and it's going to trickle down below that, I mean, it can't be good for the overall product. I don't care.
I'm not saying to pay the high school kids. I'm saying to hold out to say, hey, you know, when you come in to us, it's going to have to be a binding contract. They're going to have contracts sooner or later because you can't have kids coming in, jumping in, taking the money, and then, you know, running away. I mean, I know they said that there's some of that going on where, you know, you get this money as long as you stay here, but if you leave, you got to pay it back or you got to do whatever. It's got to be a mess. But I've never understood in Western Pennsylvania why, you know, going back to my playing days, and I wasn't that great of a player to be recruited, but to say, hey, you know what, there's more to this than just my individuality. I want to go, I want to win, I want to win a national championship. I've never understood, and maybe now this can happen since NIL, where, you know, a group of kids would say, hey, you know what, we played against each other in this championship game. I know you're a great player. I know I'm a great player. Let's go to, you know, XYZ University and let's win a championship.
I understand. Hey, Rob, anything's possible at this point, and thanks for the call. What I will also tell you is that this whole recruiting of high school athletes, maybe this is what you're trying to say eventually, I don't know if I'd even bother with them. I would spend my time in the transfer portal every single year because there's no guarantee. You recruit Matt Sieg, he has a really good freshman year, and he doesn't like what's going on, he wants to go someplace else, he goes. So you waste all your time doing that, and then at the end of it, he leaves anyway. I think you're going to see more people go to the transfer portal as their chief way of recruiting. And I don't necessarily like that either, but that's simply the way it's going with all the money, and it's very difficult. There are teams that just don't have the donor base to be able to boost these kind of salaries that these teams need. I think one of the reasons why, you know, Pitt's struggling is they don't have enough people putting, and you could rely on them, one or two people who have a lot of money. At the end, they're going to get tired of it. They need more people to do it, given how this is sort of unleashed. Anyway, it is a problem. It's not going to get, I don't think it's changing anytime soon, but at some point it has to. Let's go to Ryan in New Jersey before we take a break. Hello, Ryan. How are you?
Hey, Bob. I don't know whether to congratulate you or console you for agreeing to take on more hours with Joe Starkey, but...
It's just going to be a couple of days a week. It's not full time over there because I don't have the time, but it's a change. But I'm looking forward to it because it's weekdays. It's days that I work anyway.
Well, you're good on the radio and you take calls and actually interact with the callers, which is not standard on the station. So I always appreciate that.
Thanks, Ryan.
There's two things that, real quick, I don't call you to talk about the Steelers much, but that game the other night, watching Tomlin and the coaches kind of stand there, look around, and the two-yard nudge up the middle and the bring four pressure that never got home, so the secondary was getting picked apart. they always seem like a team, and I know they'll deny it, that reads their own press. So they beat Baltimore, and they're all high on Tomlin, coach of the year or whatever, and they just, like, dumbfoundedly walked into that game and just were frozen. Just no adjustments. You know, blitz somebody occasionally or go to dime and put...
That's a good point, the blitz part, because something. I looked at Cleveland's offensive line with all the injuries they've had, and they had this guy playing left tackle. And they one sack all night. Yeah, they had a couple of pressures. But with that quarterback, the best way to intercept him is to put pressure on him. And they really didn't do a consistent enough job of doing that.
Now, I know they say on the broadcast they're in man all the time, but it really looks like the same Dick LeBeau zone blitz, soft zone, because they're... You know,
but they don't blitz.
They don't blitz. That's the thing. It only worked because they were never covering all the receivers. It only worked because they'd bring five or six guys. That's why it worked all those years. So I don't know. Terrell Austin leaves a lot to be desired sometimes. And so does Smith. I don't know what that game plan was. But whatever. As far as the Pens go, you know, I got to laugh when I see the same people breaking down Corsi numbers and metrics and whatever about, and then kind of pulling their hair out about when's it going to get better. I cannot believe that they've ridden this horse, but it was predictable. The Kings had that whole, oh, we won, and then we broke down. The Blackhawks had, we won, and then we broke down. Penguins were insistent that they weren't going to do that, and they have done it probably as close to Chicago when it's all said and done, or maybe even worse, because this team is nowhere near being competitive. I mean, they are 5 years, if they get lucky, in my book, from being competitive. They don't have, they traded away all their guys. They don't have any depth. They don't have a lot of young talent. They got these stupid second, third-round picks, which don't translate to much in hockey. This is not.
No, I agree. I mean, you can stockpile picks, but you don't want second and third. Every now and then you'll come up with a Brian Rust or a Jake Guentzel, but it's very, very rare.
5 or 10 impactful players in each NHL draft. They don't get to the second and third round, typically, unless you get lucky. But I just don't – I don't get it. I don't – I mean, and as far as the Crosby thing goes, I see a lot of, why did he resign? He and granted, the thing that's saving Pens fans is he's so regimented in his ways and so superstitious, I don't think he could bring himself to ask for a trade. But he signed because he could be traded. I mean, that is a tradable contract, that extension. So if he wants to pull the ripcord...
Now, he's the one who has to do it, absolutely.
Exactly.
Which is also true of all those other guys, too. But I would approach him now anyway. I would go to them.
I think Malkin might be done this year.
But the thing is, you're not going to get what you once would have gotten. If you had done this 4 years ago, you would have gotten more. And, you have to at some point anticipate that what's happening is going to happen. We talked about it all the time, right, Ryan? You've talked about it. The fact that they won because they went out, got aggressive trade picks. Sooner or later, there is a payment due on that. And you're paying it now. And so then what do you do now? You can't get the same in return that you would have gotten.
I know the popular narrative was trade Malkin in 2017 or 18, you get a haul. Let's just assume that's just water under the bridge at this point, because he wasn't going to accept that. They weren't going to do that. And, yeah, hindsight's 2020. And the reason why the team started to collapse, other than Rutherford wheeling and dealing, was Sullivan picked the wrong goalies. He picked twice. He picked the wrong goalies twice. And I know the decisions made sense. But these are not NHL Stanley Cup winning goalies, these last two. They're just not. You're not going to be able to do anything with that. And now they're stuck. I mean, the Jari contract and the Graves contract. I mean, this is why Crosby, if I were him, and I know what kind of guy he is, we think we know what kind of guy he is. I know why.
No, you know what he is. He's pretty transparent, and he's as good as you think. It's up to him, though. If he wants to do it, we got to go to a break, Ryan. But thanks. I appreciate the call, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. It's a mess right now in terms of where you go from here. And quite frankly, it's unlikely they'll be able to dig out. I hope they can. I want to see a competitive team going down the stretch so they can get into the playoffs. And, man, we've missed playoff hockey for 2 years now. You don't want to make it three, and if it's three, it'll likely become four and more. So Kyle Dubas has got many situations on his plate right now, and he has to figure out what is the best way to go about it. 412-928-9370, that is the number to call. We have Joel Nelson behind the glass. Joel now will be here pretty much all day, I would assume, Joel, right? You're going to be you work long hours. I always see you working long hours.
Yes, sir. I'll be here throughout the rest of the day, Bob.
All right, well, we have a Pit Show coming up at the top of the hour. Doran Dickerson will join me from Louisville, and Pitt's got its own set of problems to deal with. But in the meantime, we have open lines up until 1 o'clock, so call 412-928-9370. Our show brought to you by number one Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. PNC Bank, Shenderovich, Shenderovich & Fishman, Ireland Contracting. All right here, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We continue to roll along with Joel Nelson operating all the ones and the twos. I'm Bob Pompeiani here until 1 o'clock, and then we shift over to Pit Preview with Doran Dickerson. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Again, thank you to Number One Cochran, Rob Cochran, Tire Family. Shop 24-7 with ExpressWayCochran.com. They've got locations everywhere. Anything you need in the way of a vehicle, either trade, purchase, whatever the case may be, they take care of it, and they have some of the best service people you'll find as well. So thank you to Number One Cochran for being a primary sponsor of our program. 412-928-9370, just some updates. Clairton has just come back to tie for Cherry. By the way, it's on KDK Plus, but if you're traveling around, you want to listen to it, all the games on KDKA AM or 101 FM. Is that right, Joel? Is that the... So you could watch, you could listen to them both. They're doing all four games today, correct? So we're good there. That's coming up today. And Fort Cherry with two Matt Sieg touchdowns to make it 14-6. They just, you know, scored here early second half. So that's a good game, the 1A game. And all of the other games up until probably midnight tonight will be on KDK Plus and KDK AM. In the meantime, Indiana leads Ohio State 7-0. That's 2 versus 5. Indiana, Kurt Cignetti, man, they've done a very good job at Indiana. They're trying to go to the home of the Buckeyes and win, and right now they are 7-0. That's late in the first quarter of play. 412-928-9370. Let's go to George in Bellevue. Hello, George. How are you?
Good, good. Good afternoon, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thank you.
Just quick question on the Steelers. You know, T.J. Watt has been a little quiet the last few weeks, and when I watched the game the other night and I saw Myles Garrett going crazy, I was just wondering, curious as to why the Steelers don't move him around like other teams do with their edge rushers, like Myles Garrett moves around, Max Crosby moves around. It seems like it'd be a little harder to game plan for that, and you know, it's so predictable. You know where TJ's coming from all the time, and they always seem to put two or three blockers on him. I just wondered if you had any insight into that.
No, I tend to agree with that, too. Just, you know, for the sake of, you know, you could stunt him. You could do a lot of different things like that. But in, as far as moving him just to change the pace and give the offense something to think about, I don't think that's a bad move at all. And, you know, maybe we'll see that moving forward. I do know this, the TJ Watt's going to be highly motivated, not only for the next game, but when Cleveland comes back here, given what happened in that game, you're going to see something else take place, I would imagine. But that's a good idea, and I, you know, surprised they haven't done more of it, to be honest.
Yeah, why don't you pass that along to the defensive coordinator? It seems so obvious to me, but...
Well, I mean, in that game, I thought more that I really thought Nick Herbig was going to have a bigger impact, only because they had a guy at left tackle who was just new to it, hadn't been all that good. The one sack they got was him as he went around the edge. I thought he used his speed more to his advantage in that game. But again, they came in, Cleveland did, to that game with the NFL worst 46 sacks allowed, and for some reason the Steelers only got one in that game. So that was a little surprising to me.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right, thank you.
You're inside. Okay. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye, George. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Again, big day today with high school football, but tomorrow, an off day for the Steelers. You know, and that was that. So there are going to be a lot of other games. I think the game on Monday night is going to be interesting with Baltimore traveling to the Chargers in the Battle of Harbaughs. And, you know, Baltimore with a win all of a sudden be 8-4, and they have home games coming up to both Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Both teams have tough schedules, you know, and this is a rock'em sock'em AFC. I don't know that there's an elite team as in previous years. They're very good teams, but not. I think Kansas City is beatable the way they're playing right now, although they know how to win, and they have won despite not playing their best football. I would imagine that's going to change down the stretch. Buffalo is, to me, a team that's more dangerous given everything they have. So I would look at that and say, okay, Buffalo, Kansas City, where is Pittsburgh? What is the ceiling for the Pittsburgh Steelers right now? They still, despite that loss, are 8-3, and they have games coming up with everyone in their division. They can take care of business right then and there. But also, the game at Philly and the game against Kansas City are going to be difficult games, and they come in a very short window. So, what is the ceiling? Call me at 412-928-9370. We saw 2020, 11-0, and people had looked at that as a team that could win a Super Bowl at that point. 11-0 teams normally do get to a Super Bowl, and then everything fell apart. I mean, look at the Eagles, what happened last year. They started 11-1 and just fell apart. Things can change. For what is the Steelers' ceiling? I'd like to hear from you at 412-928-9370. We'll take a break here, come back with more of those calls leading you up till the top of the hour, and we'll also talk about the Penguins. What would you do? What can they do if you're the Pittsburgh Penguins here, looking ahead to not only the rest of this year but the future? That's all coming up right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We are brought to you by number one Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. PNC Bank, Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call, 412-928-9370. Back to the lines. California is our next destination. The state. We have Guy out there in California. What's up, Guy?
Hi, Bob. Hey, listen, real quick, before I talk about the Penguins, I'm really looking forward to Sunday, but it's not for the reasons one would think. It's when that F1 race in Las Vegas is over. That thing's been a real disaster. I mean, it's on TV in the East Coast after midnight, for goodness sake. So you can see they're definitely catering to a European audience.
It's all money, too. It's all money that they get from that side of the pond.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be texting friends and relatives in Italy and the like, but it's ridiculous. It ties up traffic in Las Vegas, and I think most Las Vegas people think it's been a real disaster. That said, about the Penguins, I think, you know, we need to wait till after Thanksgiving, then we can make some hard decisions about the Penguins. You know, I don't care if the Penguins are fifth in the Patrick, or rather the Metro Division. It's, are they eighth in the Eastern Conference? And you have to think in terms of conferences. And I don't think they're yet. You know, obviously, they're not there now. But, you know, their play has certainly been lackluster. But I just want to say one thing, cautionary tale. When you look at the Vegas Golden Knights, they have been ruthless in what they've done to their personnel. They traded Marc-Andre Fleury, and that was a disaster. But, you know, they also got rid of, they let their 2023 Conn Smythe winner, the MVP Stanley Cup winner, Marchessault, go. I mean, I don't know whether or not the people in Pittsburgh are ready, you know, for that sort.
Yeah, but they still remain competitively good, the Vegas Golden Knights.
Oh yeah, they're on top. They're on top of their division, and they're
sometimes you have to make those smart moves. You know, we just had Jim Rooney on talking about Dan Rooney and some of the moves he made. You try to be, you know, upfront professional about it, but you can't shy away because you feel some sort of, you know, debt of gratitude for players. I mean, it's just the way it goes. You have to make choices. I think if the Penguins, you know, once back in 27, 18, whatever the case may be, they had a chance maybe to move on from Malkin and Letang. They didn't do it. They had a second round of this opportunity back when they were both at the end of contracts, and they doubled down and brought them back. If they had not done that, they would have saved all that money that they could have used in free agency for younger people to surround Sidney Crosby. But they chose not to do that. Instead, they doubled down, brought him back for longer, you know, 4-year deal. So now they're stuck.
And, they're at the bottom of their division. I mean, I'm looking, you know, the Flyers and the Blue Jackets are ahead of them, for goodness sakes. And, you know, if the Blue Jackets make the playoffs, then it'll really be an indictment in the season. I'm just saying, prepare yourself for, you know, the harshness that may come with that. I'm not sure the fan base. I don't think when people say let's trade Crosby, I don't think the fan base is ready for that. Maybe Letang, maybe Malkin.
The only way the fan base will be ready is if Sidney Crosby is the man who goes to them and says, look, I can help you out by trading me, you know, give me a chance to go someplace and I'll get you some assets in return or something of that nature. I don't think the team would do anything. They had a choice not to sign Malkin or Letang on when they were at the end of their contracts. They could have done that. They could have saved a lot of money, and there were people in free agency who would have made them younger and maybe better.
And I agree with you. We talked about that in the past. I'll just say, you know, after the Olympics, we'll see how, you know, Crosby feels. You know, I said, hey, listen, I enjoy playing with these guys. Let me go play with them, finish my career out with them. We'll see.
All right, Guy. Thank you. Appreciate it. Have a good one. Let's go out to Wexford now. We have Tim joining us here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Bob. It's Tim, longtime friend of Tommy Max. Merry Christmas.
Tommy Max.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
You too. Thanks, Tim.
I can't wait to hear your version of Blue Christmas this year.
We'll see.
Okay, listen, real quick. The Chiefs still have the Texans, the Chargers, and the Steelers, and they close with the Broncos. Okay, and the Bills have a three-game stretch with the 49ers, Rams, and Lions. How are those games going to affect the playoff picture and the seeding in the AFC?
Well, it will, one way or the other. And the Steelers have a tough schedule, too. They're all going to take their lumps along the way. Like I said, I thought the AFC is not necessarily filled with any elite teams. All those teams are good that you mentioned, Kansas City and Buffalo. They're very good teams. But they're beatable, you know, I think more so this year than maybe they've been in the past. So we'll see how this goes. But those are not easy games. Injuries will play a factor. Kansas City has built up enough in insulation. They finally lost to Buffalo. But, you know, they only have one loss, so they're still in the driver's seat. And remember, that number one seat is very, very important. You want to get it just because you're the only team that's going to get a week off.
Well, you have a good one, Bob. Thanks.
All right, Tim. Thanks. Appreciate that. Yeah, all those schedules are difficult. There's no question. But I don't know what San Francisco is right now. They've been, you know, Purdy's not going to play this week. They've had injuries. They're not the same team that people thought they were. Now, the Lions are a legitimate team. If there's one team that you can say should be standing out amid all these teams, it's the Detroit Lions. But that doesn't mean a team like the Rams can't get hot. They have Stafford back. They got both of their receivers, Nacua and Kupp, both healthy. I mean, they're in a situation where they could be very, very good down the stretch and get in and get hot at the right time. So that's all very much a possibility. We'll see how that goes. But the Steelers have to worry about just getting better against Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a team that can light you up, and their defense could be lit up. So you could look for a lot of points in that game. But I thought we'd see more points from the Steelers in this game against the Browns, given their defensive woes, and yet it did not happen. So Burrow's a tough customer now. He's got Gesicki at tight end. He has both T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. They're a good offensive team. Defensively, they can be had. So we'll see how that goes. But that's going to be fascinating. I got two against the Bengals. And the Bengals have, you know, I still think they're pretty much done at 4-7. But if they should go on a little bit of a roll here and get to 10-7, and we've seen teams get hot at this juncture of the situation, that could be totally different. So all I know is it's going to be fun to watch. I don't like Christmas Day games, just to be honest with you. I don't, unless they're at night, and this one isn't at night. So it's a 1 o'clock game. And by the way, those of you who are worried about Netflix, we will carry the game on KDK-TV. You don't have to worry about buffering anything because we're taking a direct feed that we're getting. It has nothing to do with Netflix. So if you're looking for the place to watch it on Christmas Day, it is KDK-TV. We'll have it all for you. By the way, on KDK Plus and also KDK Radio, if you're driving around and you want to find out what's going on with these high school games, we're right now very late in the third quarter. Fort Cherry had a 14-6 lead. It's now 14-14. Clairton is driving with the ball here, and we'll see what they do with it, but it's a tie game. All four games will be on TV, KDK Plus, on the radio at KDKA AM, FM. So check that out for sure coming up. In the meantime, we're going to get you set for Pitt Panther Preview coming up. That's with Doran Dickerson and myself as Pitt gets set to take on Louisville and really is a big game for them. They can't afford to lose four in a row. This whole season has crumbled right in front of them. There was talk about them getting into the playoff, talk about ACC championship games. All those are done because of some of their sloppy play. And they need to rebound today, although they are 7.5-point underdogs. All right, Joel Nelson, thanks very much for your help. As always, appreciate it. Top of the line, Joel Nelson. He'll be here all day long. We have a lot of programming throughout the course of the day. Once again, thank you to Number One Cochrane, shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call, Iron Rock Tap House. Also, there's a good golf place to go. It's called 9 Yards Golf Lounge. It's down there in Washington County. If you like simulators with some of the best technology, check that place out as well. If you're looking to get your golf swing throughout the course of the winter, that's a good place, 9 Yards Golf Lounge in Washington. So we have fan preview coming up with the Pitt Panthers as they take on Louisville. And then tomorrow, join us. We still have a pregame show, even though there's no game, 11:30 a.m. on KDK-TV. It's a BetMGM Steelers kickoff. We'll take a look at what happened in Cleveland with Charlie Batch and company. And also, tomorrow night, it's the Number One Cochrane Sports Showdown. That's on 11:35 KDK-TV. So that's going to wrap up. Now time for fan weather. Sun Chevrolet provides that to you. It is the Red Tag event. Now through December the 2nd, 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Today, thick cloud cover, breezy, couple of showers, high of 46. Tonight, still cloudy, low of 38. For Joel Nelson, I'm Bob Pompeiani. Thanks for joining us. Coming up next, Pit Panther previews. They get set to take on Louisville right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.